It's really wonderful to be here with all of you. A lot of people I've known, a lot of new faces. It's really a great joy, great honor. My mother's here. I haven't seen her for over 2 weeks, so I didn't spend time with her on Mother's Day because she went with my sister to Chicago. They had a late with my nieces, so we missed out. We missed each other, and I went somewhere as well. So I finally get to see my mom for over 2 weeks. And you know, I would not be a priest today. I would not be a priest today without her prayers, without her Christ-like examples. I would not be a priest today. And you know, tomorrow I'm going to celebrate my second. Somebody just reminded me today in a text. I'm going to celebrate my second year anniversary as a priest. So and people like to, friends like to joke, you're entering your terrible twos. So beware, archdiocese. Also, you know, my mother, she's here. She's very, very genuine, very free to speak her mind. And she just speaks from the heart. Takes her about 10 seconds before she reveals the depths of her heart to you. And she said to me a few weeks after I was ordained, she was like, I can't believe a priest came out of me, especially Marco. Always, mom's always there to lift you up. I was ordained during the papacy of Pope Francis. I was born during the papacy of Pope St. John Paul II, but I was ordained during the papacy of Pope Francis. And I love this man. Every day I try to go on the Vatican websites and read his talks and homilies. I don't go on the media because you're going to hear baloney junk there, not the truth. I go to the Vatican, to the source, to hear his talks, read about his talks and his homilies. And I love him. I really enjoy reading Pope Francis's joy in the gospel, that his apostolic exhortation. And I like to do word counts. I'm a nerd that way. And if you do a word search on Pope Francis's joy in the gospel for the words fervor and enthusiasm, you will find that the Pope Francis uses the word enthusiasm 11 times and the word fervor 18 times. So enthusiasm and fervor. So I pray today that I preach with the enthusiasm, the fervor of the gospel. And if you are with me, people of God, give me an amen.
Amen.
You gave me a green light, and I'm going to give you, the people of St. Joseph's would want me to give you a warning about that. Warning about that. But I love being a priest, and I love this. I'm very humbled and honored to be able to spread his word. And also, if you do a word search on the word joy in Pope Francis's joy in the gospel, you will find the word joy used 99 times. Yes, sirree, Pope Francis is exhorting you and me to be joyful, not to be walking around like life is a perpetual funeral. And this exhortation to be joyful is not some new revelation. It's not new. You know, sometimes people say, oh, joy. Pope Francis, he's pushing joy. This is not new. Read the New Testament. St. Paul, Philippians chapter 4, commands us to rejoice. Rejoice in the law and the Lord always. Rejoice. And of course, Jesus, our Lord. Like, I love Luke chapter 10, where he says, you know, more or less, I'm paraphrasing, do not rejoice in your successes, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I love that passage. And this call, the gospel calling to be joyful, is not about being more positive. It's not about building up the human psyche that is more optimistic. It's not about, you know, the glasses, you know, looking upon life with the glasses full, you know, half full. It's not about building up your self-esteem. Nowhere Jesus talks about self-esteem in the gospel. He talks about God-esteem. Get to know how much you are loved, honored, revered by your Father. Okay, Pope Francis, St. Paul, Jesus our Lord, they are not naive optimists. They are not naive optimists. No way. They are realists. They keep it real, brothers. I used to listen. I'm going to admit, I used to listen to rap music back when I was a teenager. And my mother prayed to Almighty God that I be delivered from rap music. And I think she did a good job. And because they are realists, that is why they never ever tell us to put our faith in ourselves. They never say to put our faith in the goodness of humanity. Never to put our faith in human progress. You know, the supposed human progress that's been so wonderfully made manifest in technological development. Never says that. No, Jesus tells us not to put our faith in ourselves. Not to put our faith in humanity. Not to put our faith in human progress. But rather, we know what he says? Put your faith in me. Thank God. Don't get me wrong. To be positive, to be optimistic is healthy for the human psyche. It's healthy. It's nice. That's nice. But you don't need Jesus for that. And such optimism means very little when all is said and done. Means many times, more often than not, it fails us, that optimism. You know, if you listen to popular music, you will hear some very nice, optimistic songs. And I was trying to think today of this, you know, in preparation for this homily, I was thinking of some specific songs that might cross, you know, various generations. So I thought, you know, Michael Jackson is good, Michael Jackson. And I'm going to sing to you right now a song of his. But before I sing, I want to warn you that I literally sing like a rugged donkey. And so by this act of self-humiliation, I'm attempting to kill, massacre any bone of self-conscious bone in my body. Okay, let me remember the lyrics here. The world is gonna be a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. Let me say that again. The world is going to be a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. Okay. That's a nice optimistic song. That's nice. Nice. But that song, let's be real, let's be honest. That song is not going to inspire hope and joy to our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters who in places like Iraq, Africa, at this very moment, right now, are living in fear of their lives. Such optimism is not going to move to hope so many of our persecuted Christian brethren who have witnessed family and friends being murdered before their eyes. Michael Jackson or any message of optimism is not going to do anything for their souls. It's hard for them. It's hard for them to truly believe that the world is going to be a better place for you and me and the entire human race. Rightly so. How about here? We are not being persecuted, right? We're okay. Here in the United States. Well, there's a lot I could say about that, but one thing I'm going to focus on, and it's been in the heart of the Holy Father of heart of the church right now, and we have experienced since the 1960s the ever-increasing breakdown of the family that is growing which goes hand in hand with the ever-increasing aggressive secularization, de-Christianization of our culture, which is growing, 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 growing. And we see this specifically, very, very concretely in the crisis of fatherhood. You know, in the 2005, in the U.S. Census Bureau reported that 1 out of 3 children here in the United States live without their biological father. That was 5 years, that was 10 years ago. It's worse now, you know. Right now, with technological advancements, reproductive technological advancements, a woman can have, you know, have a child without a father. She's just going to fight the right reproductive cells, make sure that, you know, it's a tall, dark, handsome, intellectual guy, successful, and they're going to create, you know, That's all they need is the reproductive cells. Ah, fatherless, crisis of fatherhood. You know, right now, the pornography business makes billions, billions more money here in the United States than the 3 major sports combined. Major League Baseball, NFL. Major League Baseball, NFL, and NBA. Okay. There's an onslaught against masculine sexuality like no other time in the history of civilization. Don't tell me, don't sing to me Michael Jackson. Don't tell me to be optimistic and have faith in the goodness of humanity, faith in human progress. Yes, Pope Francis, St. Paul, Jesus our Lord, who is present before us, are not happy-go-lucky optimists. All is sunshine. No way. Rather, they are realists. They really, those rappers, they don't keep it real. They keep it real, however. Jesus is the fullness of God's revelation. In him, we see the face of God. Yes, in Jesus, we have the fullness of reality. Jesus is as real can get. And he never said, have faith in yourselves. Have faith in the goodness of humanity. Have faith in human progress. Rather, he says, have faith in God. Have faith in me. You know, the philosophy of Karl Marx, the father of communism, runs in radical opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Karl Marx had so much faith in human progress, so much faith in the goodness of humanity. That is why he said, religion is the opium of the people. That is why he said, religion is an escape from man's obligation to man. Well, we know how demonically wrong Karl Marx was. All we have to do is look back at what occurred in the Marxist states this past century. So much misery, massive, massive violation of human rights. Yes, Jesus never, ever speaks of such false faith in humanity. Rather, he says, place all your faith and hope in me. Jesus spells this truth clearly to us in the Gospels. If I were to walk down the street and someone were to say to me, hey, priest guy, it's happened before. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to read your whole Bible. But just give me one passage that will explain to me what the Christian life is about. And well, what would I say? I would say, go and read Matthew chapter 5 on the Beatitudes. Pope Francis says that in the Beatitudes, we have the blueprint of the Christian life. And when we reflect on the Beatitudes, know that Jesus generally presents things in the gospel in an order of importance. And the first Beatitude is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's the most important Beatitude, the most important. You know, to clearly understand this Beatitude, to understand what it means being poor in spirit, we got to first look at who are the rich in spirit. And Jesus says, they are not blessed. They are not blessed. Please, die. Okay. The rich in spirit are the self-sufficient. Right? They're self-empowered. They've got the world figured out. They believe they have the resources within themselves to do well in this life. They believe in themselves. They believe in the goodness of humanity. Now the poor in spirit, however, these are the blessed ones. Blessed are you if you are poor in spirit. They are the opposite to the rich in spirit, the opposite. The poor in spirit are dependent on God for everything. They will say, I am weak, intellectually in the dark without you, Lord. They have the humility to say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your grace. I am a lost sheep without you, Jesus, my divine shepherd. They are ready to say and acknowledge the reality that I'm a sinner in need of mercy. You know, that's why our Holy Father, when they interviewed him, America Magazine, they asked him, Pope Francis, in the first question, who are you? Who are you, Pope Francis? We want to know who you are. And what he said, I'm a sinner. Christianity 101. And that's a mark of a man who is poor in spirit. He acknowledges that he is a sinner. The poor in spirit have the disposition of heart ready to place, therefore, all their faith, hope in God. And that is the wisest thing you can do. If you are with me, give me an amen. Wisest thing. I have personally in my life experienced the conversion from being rich in spirit to being poor in spirit. I was a man rich in spirit before I truly lived my Christian life. I approached my life, work, school, sports, everything, relationships, with self-confidence. I believed in myself. I believed in my goodness. I was in control of my life. I had the world figured out, right? Then when I started to have physical health issues that brought an end to my sport, my exercise, work was a struggle. Life in general was very challenging for me. It was a time of grave darkness. And I was broken. I was vulnerable. And man, I hated being vulnerable. I hated it. Knocking down things. I hated it. I look back. Being vulnerable. I experienced darkness within me. I experienced lies. That was the thing. Yeah, everything on the outside looked wonderful. I had this image, strong, Marco. But in the inside, I was broken. Inside, I was poor. You know, during that time of my life, nice optimistic songs like Michael Jackson or any prep talk from some prosperity gospel preacher was not going to get me out of this despair. No way, Jose. But this was such a time of profound grace for me. Oh, this is my grace. This is where I encountered God in a most powerful, intimate, life-giving way. This was a time of great grace. Why? Because no longer was I holding on to the illusion of my optimism, holding on to having faith in myself. No longer holding on to that. I had nothing to hold on to. I was no longer a man rich in spirit. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But I came to the reality that I was poor. I was a man poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit, guess what? It moved me to depend on Almighty God. Move me to stop placing my faith and hope in myself and all that the world offers me, and to begin placing my faith, hope in Almighty, loving, merciful God. And since I have done that, I have been changed. I'm a changed man. And my mother will bear witness. I have experienced new resurrected life. I'm less anxious than ever before in my life. I'm less affected negatively when troubles come my way. Less. I have a newfound prayer life that is a source of joy, renewal, strength for me every day. I'm less ruled by pride and more ruled by the love of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Jesus has enabled me to love and honor those better, including my mom. And I still got some work to do, right, Mom? Oh, she claps. I am wiser. I'm wiser. And not because I read more books, I got this master, you know, this education. No, man, not wiser. My mom never went one day in her life in school. Kids in preschool have more schooling than my mom. But I have learned more about God, about life, from her than any man from with a PhD. Why? Because she got faith. And faith allows you to see And faith allows you to see reality as God sees it. And that's supreme wisdom. I am less self-conscious. Obviously, I've done a pretty good job. The Holy Spirit's done a pretty good job. I'm less self-conscious. I got more courage to speak and stand for the truth, despite the pushback that I may receive from others. You know, our persecuted brethren, they give me so much courage. Though my persecuted brethren in Iraq and Africa, they show me that this faith is worth dying for. I don't let them discourage me. I let it encourage me. I'm more ready to smile too. I'm more alive than ever before in my life. I'm getting older, but I'm getting younger. Younger now than when I was in my prime physically, running, you know, 60 miles a week, going, working 60 hours a week and everything, won Golden Gloves. Even my mom knows. And I drove my mom crazy during those times. But I'm younger than when I was at my prime. Younger, I'm getting younger, right? Even though I'm getting older physically, but younger. Why? And I'm shooting. My goal is to be like Pope Francis, 78 years old, and he's younger than you teenagers. He's younger than me. He is full of that resurrected life that never grows old, never dies. And all this grace would not have occurred in my life if I did not embrace being poor in spirit. Yes, I'm very joyful about that. Very enthusiastic about that. The poor in spirit, then end up depending on God for everything. Do you see why being poor in spirit is a blessing? It is a blessing. Moves you to depend on the Lord, who fills our souls with his faith, hope, and love, which enlivens us like no other. Jesus changed my life. He changed it. And there's even more to change. Right, Mom? Yes. More new life in Christ awaiting me. And it's going to get even better. And I speak this with hope. Yes, I speak with certainty. Hope is certainty. The word hope has been watered down. Hope is not optimism. It's not wishful thinking. You know, we've watered down that word. Hopefully the Tigers will win the World Series. We have made the word hope to be something indecisive. No way, man. Hope is certainty. You know, this is why we Catholics have to depend less on the Webster's Dictionary and more on the Catholic Catechism of the Church. Okay. Hope is certainty that God is on our side. Certainty of his unfailing, unconditional love, merciful love for you and me. Certainty that if we entrust our lives to him and follow him, he will continually, throughout our lives, better our lives, better our hearts, change us at the root being of our being, till we meet him face to face. Yes, this is real joy. This is real joy. What Pope Francis, St. Paul, and Jesus are talking about. Going forward in this life with such hope in the Lord will bring forth a lasting joy. Not some vague, naive, wishy-washy optimism. Sometimes that joy is subtle. Sometimes, you know, during challenging times of life, it's just a flicker of light. But it's there. It's always there because it's born of the certainty of God's infinite love for you. And the key is we have to allow the Lord to meet us at our poverty. When we do, we will understand what it means to be, why Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, on your own, you cannot conquer sin. On your own, you will fall victim to the workings of the devil. On your own, you will not experience the true enduring joy in your life. You are hopeless on your own before the reality of death. But that changes 180 degrees when we allow ourselves to be poor in spirit before Almighty God and place all faith and hope in him and his eternal promises. It's done. We come to see that we are victors in Christ. Victors. And are called to carry our head high in Jesus. In humility before Jesus. Right now from this monstrance, Jesus is gazing upon all of you with love. He is. And Jesus wants to meet you in your poverty, your vulnerability. We as men, specifically, I'm going to speak to men right now, we don't like poverty. I mean, we don't like vulnerability. I didn't like it when I recall back. I didn't like vulnerability. And we don't like it, so we hide in our work, ambition, sports, hobbies, Netflix, hide in our fake image. Man, we hide. You know, these rappers, they make over 500 million worth, net worth, and they all looking all like this, all hard and stuff. You know, holding this image, you know, I'm tough. I'm looking more masculine. Man, you ain't more. You are. Oh, man, what I want to say, I'm going to hold back. It's all illusion, all. Brothers, men, women, but especially brothers, where God meets you most powerfully is in your vulnerability. Don't hide. When we hide, we choose to be puny Christian males. Don't hide. Let him meet us in our vulnerability. Brothers, sisters, if you're sad, well, Jesus desires to be sad with you. If you are anxious, Jesus wants to be right there with you in your anxiety. If you are angry, Jesus wants to be with you in that anger. If you are discouraged, Jesus wants to be there with you. Ultimately, Jesus right now is pleading with you to be real with him about your human condition, real about your poverty, so you can come to understand why. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Let's have the Holy Spirit move our hearts to hope in him. You know, these words, let's repeat after me these words of our Father. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. You know, in this Our Father, we are not praying with wishful thinking. Wishful thing. But we are praying with hope, certainty. Hope that when you and I and all experience the reign of God in our hearts, hope that when you and I and all people fully trust our lives to him, we are certain to make God's kingdom present here on earth. Let's renew today. Let's Jesus today. Renew in a renewed way. Draw you to a deeper faith and hope in him. Please, let me lead you in a prayer. You can, if you want, you can all kneel. Lead you in a prayer. Lord, as we gaze, as you gaze upon us from the Blessed Sacrament, we desire right now in our heart to become aware of the pull, the draw coming from you, so that we can enter into a real, authentic, deeper communion with you, Jesus. We ask this all in your name.